Thanks for tuning in to Good Vibrations with Kristen, where humanness meets spirituality. Are you ready to be inspired? Do you want to have a greater connection to the earth, each other, and ultimately yourself? Join in the conversation with Kristen Ace and her fascinating guests to share the light, laughter, and the illumination of good vibrations.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen of Good Vibrations with Kristen. Welcome to the show today. I just want to remind you that you can find me at www.kristenace.com. And there you can find all kinds of interesting things about what I do besides the podcast and my blog. I do healing and storytelling, and I can do that in special events, big events, small parties, however suits you. And I can tailor the evening to the topic that you are looking to discuss or work on. So anyway, today I have an amazing guest. Her name is Jillian Kelly. She is the owner of the Asheville Bee Charmer in Asheville, North Carolina. She also happens to be one of my soul sisters and best friends on this earth. So I'm ecstatic that she's here. Welcome, Jill, to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to like share this time with you. It means a lot to me.
Well, I'm thrilled. It's kind of bizarre to be talking to you in like this kind of professional format. But you started the Asheville Bee Charmer. Is it 2 years now?
It's probably the whole thought process has probably been about 2.5 to 3 years, but the store has been open now for just under 1.5 years.
So, and that's what got me thinking about this next topic. Like, here you are, you've started this incredible shop, you've learned to become a beekeeper, you're now learning how to make bee wax candles, you've learned all about the different aspects of the hive, what the hive needs, what the queen needs compared to what the drones need. You've done this incredible project, and it's nowhere near what you were studying in college or what you've done so far in your life. And I thought, you know, we're always hearing this thing, what do you want to be when you grow up? Who are you? What's our soul's purpose? What's our path? Are we on the right path? Are we doing this right? And I thought about you and I said, yeah, this is a person who can tell everybody that every aspect of your life as you move forward brings you to the next great thing, whatever that great thing is.
Yeah, I'm for as long as I've known you, which is probably 30 years,
yep.
And I don't know anybody who knows me better than you, other than myself, is I'm probably all of those things that I've studied in my life.
I would think so.
Right? As you are, too. I mean, I look at the transformation of both of us.
Right.
And yes, all of those roads have led from here, going to school to become an artist and mm-hmm. learning about massage and teaching and connection and community. And there's so much of what I've learned over my life, especially my adulthood, which has led me to beekeeping, my health, my community, how I connect with my spirituality, and how I connect with my community. And bees have been that big transformation for me.
Right, because you take the work that you did as an artist and you bring that to the shop. I haven't been to the shop personally yet, although I'll be there this winter. And I've seen online how spectacularly beautiful it is and how it's all flows, even feng shui ways on just looking at pictures and the various bee-themed things that all lead to the next thing that lead to the next thing. So your eye is constantly almost like, it's almost like if you were a kid in a candy store, only you're a bee in a bee shop. And so you take all of that aesthetic that you learned as an artist, and then you went into massage. Now, you did work at the Board of Trade.
Yeah.
So that helps you with money, because you have to learn how to manage money when you own your own shop. and you own your own store, and you have to negotiate with people, contracts and things like that. So you take that learning aspect into your life with the bee shop. Then you learned massage. And so your desire to help people to heal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The art probably comes into play almost more into the t-shirt making process, because although we have a honey tasting bar and we do sell honey, we have a larger message about why bees are important and how we need them in our lives, and also the health aspect of how to take out white sugar and replace it with honey if you can. But we also have bee-themed retail products. And so we've got to design those t-shirts and candles. And the store layout, we have an amazing team. Again, my community of worker bees. And they get the vision and they want to be a part of that hive, which is what I call it. And they love to take some type of ownership. And you got to give it to them a bit, because there's a trust that we feel within each other, and and we feel each other's heart. And I think that for both Kim and I, you have to lead, we do, with our heart and with that feeling. And I think that our worker bees, our employees, pick up on that. And for the healing aspect with, massage and talking about healing in general, that has basically come through in how we take care of ourselves, how we care for ourselves, how we care for others, and positive touch. When I'm working with bees, I'm not just slapping down a box on top and then decapitating bees. I make sure that I'm using a brush, and I talk to them. I talk to the girls and to the boys when I'm in there, and to say, I don't want to hurt you. This is all about love, and I want to help you, and to gently guide them back into the hive so I don't hurt them. I don't want to lose one of them. And then, also, like, the creative side enters. I mean, I look at what you do in your life and how you use creativity across a large scale, like from your storytelling and your writing and the way that you communicate with, as you and I talk about, our kids all the time, and with your friends. It's communication is huge. I try to communicate with the bees. We try to communicate with our customers and talk about not just the bees, but their health as well.
Right.
And the energy, like even after you finish beekeeping, I want to sit. I don't want to exit. I don't want to enter in a way that's disruptive. I want to be able to enter their community, their space, in a way that's respectful, and carry that throughout the way that I am as a citizen in life.
Right. So here you are, but you didn't know any of that. You had to learn all of that. But not only that, but every aspect of our lives, when you think about, you're saying, storytelling is my life. It's in every aspect of my life in some facet or another. But I didn't come to that until later in life, even though I'd been doing it forever. So here you are, and you're talking about energy, and you're talking about how you enter the room or how you enter the realm of the bees. And think about when we were young, the kind of energy that people were just slamming into our energy fields and our, and the things that we were experiencing, and understanding that didn't feel good, but we didn't have words for that. So you go through life and you start understanding, wow, if I behave in this way, these things are going to happen. And so,
yes,
I think every instance that happens that wakes you up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, whether it's working at the Board of Trade and being basically bombarded by sound and physical aggression, the whole time you're there starts to make you go, wow, I have to really start being mindful of my environment around me. Because I remember when you left there. And I remember, and I was down on the floor a couple times going, could not handle that energy. But it's understanding that over time of that experience of you don't walk into the bee's environment like a big giant, but get into.
I think a common thread throughout my life and my different careers has been a feeling of seeking joy and kindness. And that, whether that was at, and it's not just being, and I've had people say, yeah, you're just, you got to have a thick skin or you're too sensitive. No, I'm not.
Well, you and I share that quality, that too sensitive quality.
Right? Even in art school, when you have to stand up in front of your peers and your teacher and have your work evaluated, and some people don't understand constructive criticism to help you grow, they take that moment as a pot shot at your work. And I found that painful. Even if I had to, we all had to evaluate each other's work, I always tried to focus on something that I thought was truly amazing within their work and encourage them. And at the board, I learned a lot about finance, but what I also learned about was kindness, because sometimes it was cutthroat and mean-spirited. I didn't want to behave that way, and I stayed for a long time only because I believe at that time it wasn't in my comfort zone to leave. And you were one of the people who helped me realize I didn't belong there. And so, in changing careers into something that I thought was more healthy, and it was, but I also saw, as you probably would in just about anything else that you do in life, a different side of it. It always looks different from the outside. And then when you get into it, people that I looked up to, and when I was able to have private conversations with them or take a class with them, sometimes, not always, sometimes some of the things that were said were shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but that's not who I want you to be. I've held you up on this pedestal, and I want you to be that thing. And it was something I was searching for.
Right.
And I had to find that, and I had to become that.
Well, that's it. You had to become that. You had to, all those things that you were searching for. And actually, you know, I can say for a fact that you were all those things. You just hadn't seen them yet, because I saw them. You know, I saw that joy and that calm and that respect and that kindness. And I experienced that as your friend, but you didn't see it within yourself yet. And so you move forward in these different aspects of career. And I love what you said, like it was my comfort zone. And I think we stay in things because they're comfortable, even though they're not good for us, or even though that's not where we're supposed to be right now, because it's what we know. So you go, oh, well, I mean, I've had so many jobs. My kids and I literally this summer went through it and like 50 jobs. And that's not counting all the temp jobs I had. That's like grouping certain kinds of temp jobs in. But 50 jobs, because as soon as I started to feel like, ooh, this might not be a good thing for me, I was like, well, I better go. I'm not super great at staying where I'm comfortable because I don't stay comfortable for too long. But I understand that aspect of, gee, I know this. It's what I do. I do it well. Even though the universe is not supporting me in any facet except to say that it loves me, I'm not being supported. I'm going to stay. But instead, you left the Board of Trade, and then you left massage. I mean, massage was huge because you had all of that studying to do. People don't realize that massage therapists actually have to know the whole skeleton and muscular system. It's not just, oh, I'm going to put my hands on you and you're going to feel better. It's almost, you know, the training is massive to become a massage therapist.
So, yes, you know, it is. It's It's a lot. And I think that you're right. A lot of people enter that field and they may not realize all of the different systems within a person's body that they have to learn and why they have to learn it, especially ethics.
Yes.
Even, you know, that's huge. And what I found by teaching massage, the whole, like you teach the whole person, and when you would teach the whole course, I came alive more during the ethics portion of that teaching. And on my own, even in my free time, I sought out more advice and more learning experiences to bring that into a classroom because I felt like ethics was so huge. And in that experience, I was uncovering another layer of myself.
Yes.
That I had been searching for.
And that's it. I mean, if you take it to today, your ethics with the bees, like you just said, I don't just slam the lid down. I make sure, and you had told me the process of taking this little smoker that gently, you know, moves the bees out of the direction of the lid to gently put them back inside with the brush as well. So, you know, ethically, that is the way to be extremely mindful of your hive instead of, all right, I've got to get the honey. So they feel that and they consider you one of them and produce for you differently.
I do. I try, and I also try to volunteer. There's a place called the Center for Honeybee Research, and there's people who have been beekeepers for years there. And when I go, I want to be able to learn more to be able to bring that experience to our bees, but to help others with their bees because people bring their conversations that are beekeepers, novice beekeepers like myself, into the store and we have those conversations. But being able to share with them something that I've learned, no matter what it is, it may impact them. And it may resonate with them, and they may carry that to their life mm-hmm. now.
Well, like, I have to say, you blew me away. I'm going to be really honest that I didn't like honey. I really didn't. I was like, yeah, okay, honey, whatever. I don't like it. And I love bees, though. But we spent 4 days together last year doing this that food thing that we did. I can't.
Right.
What's it called?
Yeah. Food specialty show.
Yeah. So I went with you to taste all of these honeys and learn about honey. And by the end of the 4 days, I was like, I love honey now. I want honey in my life every day. And I want to move from white sugar, which is one of my go-tos, to honey and have found a couple honeys that just literally make my heart sing. But I was also just blown away at the intricacies of the environment of the bee, and tell the audience about the different bees that coincide with the planets. Will you do that? Will you tell that story, please? The life cycles of the bees that coincide with the turnings of certain planets in our solar system.
So, do you mean like? So there's a book called A Monk in the Beehive by Skye Taylor. And she, in that book, speaks about how different planets and as a planet makes its revolution, how that may be related to the drone, the queen, and the worker bee in their life cycle. So, you know, when people say, how long does a bee live? Well, there's a drone, which is a male, there's a worker bee, which is a female, and then there's one queen. And so one queen, a good healthy queen, can last you 3 to 5 years. But what Skye Taylor is talking about is like their birth cycle, when they are a small little grain of rice as a larva and brood in that frame, and how she was able to connect. There's something called a top bar hive, and then there's something called a Langstroth hive, which is what I use, which is typically what you see. It looks like a big, tall, square box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a Langstroth hive. And then there's a whole working community and communication that goes on different levels in within there. And the same thing happens within a top bar hive, which is a completely different layout. But she studied, like, the Fibonacci scale and how those numbers can relate to the inner workings of the hive and how she can connect to the queen, which is a whole other discussion that would actually take up longer than what we have.
but my point is, yes, is that this that these bees, their life cycle is connecting to revolution of our planets and our system. So
yes,
it brings the fact that everything is connected to such a profound level of understanding that blew my mind away. And I already know everything's connected, but I felt just like this deep sense of awe and wonder at how that happens. And that's what you brought to me just talking about bees. And it expanded my spiritual awareness exponentially is what I'm. And so you did that for me. And you then do that for every person that walks into your shop as you discuss bees with them.
I try, and because I can't always be in the store because sometimes I'm beekeeping, but our worker bees that because we have two stores, those are discussions that I have with them, and my passion for it comes out, and wanting to bring the young people who work with us in the store into the bee yard to give them some sense of what it feels like to put your hands into a live beehive, and you feel that energy that comes through, and it resonates like on a cellular level.
Well, and it's got to the hum of the bees, and I'd have to actually probably be there and hear it, but it has to, my guess is that it is either connects the heart chakra or the seventh chakra, the top chakra to the divine. That level, that hum, that sound, and I'd have to be there to feel it, but I could tell you which chakra it opens.
It's a vibration,
right?
And yeah, you definitely. It's almost difficult to explain, and it may be different for each person, but it kind of hits me, and then like I said, I feel like it pours out of my chest through the top of my head, through my hands. Like, it's amazing.
So, and we're going to have to sort of wrap up here, and I could probably talk for another 17 hours about this, but my point to the audience is to look at your life wherever you are. If you're in a great place, good. If you're not in a great place, that's okay too. And look at how every aspect of what you've experienced has brought you to this point of awareness. And so every aspect of your life, and some of that was very painful, of the things that you went through, still brought you to this awareness and this understanding of vibration, of respect, of mindfulness, and then this desire to take all of those things together and put it in a place that not only brings you joy, because it does bring you joy, but it brings joy to others and it expands the awareness around you about the life cycle of a bee and why it's important and why we need to be mindful about the chemicals that we put on the planet and how we have to be mindful. You can't just throw a bunch of bees in a hive and expect honey. And how things need to be cared for and how we enter an environment instead of just clomping through with our human selves, but enter through the vibration of the others. And all of that you learned through different facets of your evolution here so far.
Yes, and in such a powerful way. And just as you said, we could talk about it for 17 hours. When you and I get on the phone, we go on for days. But it's wherever you're at in your life, there's something there that you feel. And you may not share it with anybody. You may just hold it near and dear to your heart. But every step you take, whether you've already taken it or you continue on that journey, you hold that there within you in a way, and it will and it can lead you to that place of where you truly want to be, your heart's desire.
Right, your heart's desire is a beautiful way of putting it. And with that, I have to thank you for being my guest and for sharing your energy with my audience and sharing your incredible story and the gift that you bring to the world with Asheville Bee Charmer, but also just the gift of you. So thank you so much for coming. Do you want to say something quick to the audience before you go?
Thank you for having me, and I love you so much. And you've been part of that reason that I'm here today. But the level of love, kindness, and joy that I had been seeking, you've been part of that journey, and I hope that everybody has someone like that in their life to help guide them to that place.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you. Thanks for coming, Jill.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, everybody. Well, I'm profoundly moved, as always, by my dear friend, and I feel the same way about her. I hope for you all out there that you understand that your journey is not over, no matter where you are. You are always evolving. You are always moving forward. You are always learning, and you are expanding because the divine wants you to wake up and be aware not only of it, but of your importance on this earth, and that the energy you bring is only yours. Only you can bring it just this one time. And that I also do wish for you that you find true soul partnerships like I have with my friend Jillian. And because that has enriched my life in ways that I just don't think I could live without. And while you're on your journey, just know that I'm in your corner. I've got your back, and I love you.
We hope that you found this episode of GDK inspiring. And to raise your vibration even higher, visit my website at goodvibrationswithkristen.com.
And don't forget to like Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook.
What inspires you?
Write us, let us know, so we can share your ideas on the show.
And meanwhile, keep listening, keep connecting, and know that you are divinely guided.